This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go and turn to the back portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with today, I encourage you to raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. There's also some take-home sermon reflections, which I hope and pray will be a blessing to you as you head out this week, along with my family and me, for that work that God is calling us into this week as His sons and daughters in Jesus Christ. Several years ago, I had the opportunity to serve a church on the East Coast, just south of Washington, D.C., and nestled on the western shore of the Chesapeake Bay, a beautiful part of the country to serve, and a really rich mission field. Just up the road, Washington, D.C., you find a number of things, including areas like this. Memorials, monuments, and museums dedicated to those who have given so much to you and to me, into a nation that now benefits from hard work. By a show of hands, I'm curious, how many of you have gone to Washington, D.C. and experienced the National World War II Memorial? Have you been there? It's hard to put into words the experience, isn't it? It's hard to enter that area and leave without having some kind of emotional connection with what's been done for you and for me by those who have gone before us. For those of you who have gone, and for those of you who haven't, I'd like to invite us to be on the same page this morning, so let me share with you something else. As you walk into the National World War II Memorial, you come to this area. And when you see it in person, everything else begins to fade to the side. For those of you who have seen it, and maybe some of you know this already, it's known as the Freedom Wall, Field of Gold Stars. And as you draw closer to hear the story, this is what you see. There's a little plaque. And on top of that plaque, it reads as follows: "The price of freedom." At this point, you're hooked. It's really hard to look away. Underneath the heading, this is what it says. And for those of you who can't read on the screens, let me share it with you this morning. It reads as follows: "The Freedom Wall holds 4,048 gold stars. Each gold star represents 100 American service personnel who died or remain missing in the war." Does it have your attention? Are you being drawn into the story of freedom as we hear this together? It continues. "The 405,399 American dead and missing from World War II are second only to the loss of more than 620,000 Americans during our Civil War." Intrigued, I couldn't help but go on to the website for the memorial to learn a little bit more about its history. How many history buffs do we have here today? How many History Channel aficionados and so on who just love to dive into history? This is what the website says, and if you haven't read it before, I encourage you to check it out, because this is your story of freedom, just like it is mine. This is what this website says. "The memorial honors the 16 million who served in the armed forces of the U.S. during World War II, the more than 400,000 who died, and the millions who supported the war effort from home. Symbolic of the defining event of the 20th century, the memorial is a monument to the spirit, sacrifice, and commitment of the American people to the common defense of the nation and to the broader causes of peace and freedom from tyranny throughout the world. It will inspire future generations of Americans, deepening their appreciation of what the World War II generation accomplished in securing freedom and democracy. Above all, the memorial stands as an important symbol of American national unity, a timeless reminder of the moral strength and awesome power that can flow when a free people are at once united and bonded together in a common and just cause. Amen." It is hard to go into this memorial and to walk away without feeling like you've been engaged by a story of freedom. And if you've been there, you've probably had that feeling as well. You take a couple steps in and immediately it's almost gravitational in its emotional pull. It draws you in to learn more about the story. And when you leave, you leave with a story to tell, because it's your story and it's a story of a nation. You see that? Leaving with a story to tell. You know, I can't help but wonder if that's how the man in our gospel lesson felt this morning in Luke chapter 8, that when he left the gracious presence of Jesus Christ, he had a story of freedom to tell. If you missed it before, let me highlight for you once again. This man that was possessed, life was not rainbows and unicorns. Life was not peachy keen. It was dark, it was ugly, and it was bondage. Luke wants you to know the details, how hard life was for him, and how much this man was being pulled and ripped from community. Luke shares this with us in chapter 8, verses 27 and also 29. Luke shares, for a long time, this man, he had worn no clothing, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. There's kind of red flag number one. You see somebody running around with no clothing, okay, that's kind of red flag number one. Then you see the same person going and kind of camping out in the cemetery and the graves. Okay, a couple red flags there. And he shares this, for many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. So in other words, his community tried to help him the best they knew how. But he would break these bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Or in other words, away from community, into isolation, into further bondage, into something he just couldn't escape, no matter how hard he tried. If I could put a heading over that this morning, it might read something like this: freedom is needed. I wonder if God's people feel that way sometimes. I wonder if you feel that way. I wonder if you've been there, or I wonder if maybe you're there this morning, where you're in the season of life and you feel like the heading above your life is this: freedom is needed. Like 5 days ago, 5 months ago, 5 years ago. Maybe God's people wrestle with things like this, like an addiction. I've heard these over the years, and this is heartbreaking. Pastor Seth, I have tried really hard to let go of the bottle. Pastor Seth, I've tried to let go of these drugs. Pastor Seth, I've tried really hard to get away from the pornography. But no matter how hard I try, I feel like I'm anchored and I'm shackled to it. My response is this: freedom is needed for you. Maybe you resonate with this: an illness that just won't go away. You've had the tests, you've had the visits, you've heard this, you've heard that, you've gone far and wide, but it feels like you're still stuck. And you wake up in the morning and every fiber of your heart cries out, freedom is needed. I'm tired of this. Does that describe your season of life? How about this: financial debt? Pastor Seth, I don't know what we're going to do. We worked so hard to get where we are, to get our house, to get our home, to get the portrait that is our life. We crossed all the right T's. We dotted all the right I's. But yet, for some reason, things changed. Employment opportunities changed. Our season of life changed. And now we feel stuck to this financial debt. Freedom is needed. Do you know someone who's in that situation? Are you there? Maybe you don't resonate with that. Maybe you resonate with this one: an inescapable past. Or baggage. Baggage you've tried to let go. Baggage that you have tried so hard to cut the cord from. And yet, because of some situations, because of some reasons, because of some people, it seems like you're living with this inescapable baggage. And every part of you wants to wake up in the morning and say, get rid of this. But no matter how hard you try, it just feels like you're stuck to it. And now the heading over your life reads as follows: freedom is needed. Are you there? Do you have someone in your life who says they forgive you, but they love to bring up what you've done? They have a ledger against you that doesn't seem to go away? Or how about this? How about in our battle with sin? I mean, let's be honest. We know what God is calling us to do, but sometimes we just don't want to do it. And God says, don't go over here, but guess which way we go? It's almost gravitational in its pull, isn't it? We fight and we try and we struggle and we know what we're supposed to do and we know what we're not supposed to do, but it is hard to break the chain, isn't it? And so oftentimes it feels like the heading above our life at that point is what? Freedom is what? It is needed. Where are you at? Does this find you needing freedom from something? Maybe it's something that you haven't identified in yourself, but God is saying it is time to let it go. Maybe it's something that you've sought help with. And it feels like even the whole community around you hasn't been able to break. To break the chain, to break the bond, to break the cycle. Boy, God's people know about that, don't we? Situations and seasons in life where the heading above our lives and our seasons reads as follows. Freedom is what? Needed. But here's the cool thing God does for you. God brings you someone that's not scared of a past. He's not scared of an addiction. He's not scared of illness or disease or debt. His name is Jesus. And through this Jesus, this is what God does for you and for me. And he does it freely. Awesome. Jesus Christ brings freedom. He brings freedom to God's people. And we heard this in our gospel lesson. Because God wants you to know when you can't break the cycle, you can't break the chains yourself, everybody else around you can't break it, somebody in your life can. And he's willing to do it because he loves you. And his name is Jesus. And here's what God's word tells us, not just in Luke 8, but throughout the whole body of Scripture. Jesus brings freedom from, but also what? Freedom to. How oftentimes do we focus maybe on one or the other? We'll come back to that, but hang on to that question for a minute. But look again what Jesus does for this man in Luke chapter 8. And listen in. And if you've heard nothing else, hang with me. We're on the home stretch, okay? Luke 8:38-39. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, Jesus. But Jesus sent him away saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Do you hear it in what Luke shares with us? Jesus freed this man from something, but he also freed him to do something. I mean, let's be honest. Jesus freed this guy from some horrific demon oppression. But did you catch what Jesus did also? He freed the man to do something. He freed the man to go and tell God's story of freedom. A freedom that includes a Savior named Jesus Christ, who doesn't take vacation, doesn't take five, doesn't take cash or credit or plastic, but does what he does out of a deep love for you and for me, and out of grace I just don't fully understand, but I need. So here's my question to you once again. How oftentimes do we frame freedom in the sense of freedom from something, but we completely miss that we are blessed with freedom to do something? How oftentimes do we do that? I do that a lot. I think about freedom from something, but I miss the next step. I miss the next shoe dropping, the freedom to do something. I think about this experience in Washington, D.C. with the World War II Memorial, being engaged by the story of freedom, and then walking away thinking, oh, praise God, I'm freed from some of this other stuff going on in our world. But I miss the other part, and maybe you have too, that while I've been freed from just ugliness in life and in this world, I have also been blessed, and so have you, to be freed to do something else. I'm freed to live the life God has called me to live. As a child of God, as a citizen of the United States, as a father, as a husband, and the list goes on. Friends, how oftentimes do we miss the other side of the coin where we think about freedom from, but we miss freedom to? Jesus brings you both. Jesus brings you both. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus Christ frees you from your baggage and my baggage, our sins. Jesus Christ brings us freedom from sin, from death, and from the enemy. Amen? But he also frees us to live the life of a Christ follower. Amen? Yeah, sometimes God's people need to have a stronger amen after the other part. God frees us through Jesus from mess and baggage and sin and Satan, and the list goes on. But he frees us to live as a child of God that lives anchored in the Word, that follows life according to God's blueprint for us, spelled out clearly in God's Word. God frees us through Jesus Christ to do so much. My question to you this morning is this: how are you using your freedom? Over the years, in talking to a number of military servicemen and women and vets, especially on the East Coast and serving just down the road from a number of military bases, I oftentimes heard this. Pastor Seth, I wonder sometimes if the rest of our country knows that they've been blessed, not just with freedom from, but freedom to do certain things. For example, to come into a house of worship on a Sunday and not wonder about what's going to happen outside. Or that people have freedom to do so much more thanks to those who sacrifice and thanks to a God who operates with currency known as grace. My question to you is this: how are you using your God-given, God-blessed freedom? You and I have been freed from a lot, but we've also been freed to do a lot. Paul, a Christ follower, in the book of Galatians, he writes this, and maybe you've heard this before, or maybe not, but listen in for the ways in which he articulates freedom for you and for me through Jesus Christ. This is what he says. Galatians 5, verse 1, and also 13 and 14. He says, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." In other words, don't go back to what you've been doing. Christ cut the chain. He cut the cord. He's busted you out. Don't go back to it. And then he says this: "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Praise this director of Christian education, Becca Sauer, who's sitting right there and who's going to come up at the end of our service and tell you a little bit more about this, is helping us do this right now. Our youth and their families have been invited to be a part of a retreat, a planning retreat, that ultimately will allow us to go out and do just that. Live as people freed from sin, Satan, and so much more, but people freed to go out and serve a community in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is good. This is good. More details are going to be forthcoming, but once again, I challenge you, not just for this event, but throughout the week, look for those opportunities where God is giving you the opportunity to do just that. Live as a grateful people, freed. Freed to go live and minister in the name of Jesus Christ through your place of work, through your role as a husband or wife, son or daughter, coworker, manager, supervisor, student. Wonderful opportunities. My question to you is just this: this week and beyond, how will you use your God-given freedom?